that you lack no grace while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's readings remind us of two very important teachings of our Catholic Church. One is the truth of the second coming. The second coming, Jesus Christ, will come again to judge the living and of the dead. And this, of course, will be the end of the world. And he'll come in all his power and majesty to judge us and reward us for our good deeds and, of course, for those who've been evil, to punish for all eternity. So this is a great truth. And the apostles spoke of this often to the disciples and to the other converts. And interesting, Paul says he will be coming soon. Soon. Now, I don't know what soon means, but that was 2,000 years ago. Most of us would think soon would be a little shorter than that, but it's interesting. So we can never know the day nor the hour, so we must always be ready for when the Lord will come. But even before that, as we know from the various apparitions of Our Lady, especially Fatima, at Fatima she said that in the end my Immaculate Heart will triumph. In the end, she had alluded to various things that were going to happen. If men did not come back to God, there'd be a Second World War. And she also, during the reign of Pius XI, and she also said that Russia would spread her errors throughout the world, which has been done, of course, in this last century. And she said whole nations will be annihilated. To my knowledge, I don't know if that's been happened yet. I don't think it has. And when in 1960 she asked for the third secret to be revealed, and it wasn't, she came to us again at Akita in Japan to tell us how people need to come back to God. If men don't come back to God, she says, fire will fall from heaven and two-thirds of the world will be destroyed. Two-thirds. My dear friends, that is quite a chastisement. Worse, of course, than the deluge killed everybody, but if this is going to be two-thirds of the world, billions and billions of people. Now, this is Our Lady speaking. Now, this is what she means by in the end, after this tribulation, her Immaculate Heart will triumph, and there'll be an era of peace, she said, for a time. Now, this is important for us because we can look forward to that, but of course, we're going to have to go through the chastisement. And this is why we need to always be ready and do what Our Lady says. Men must stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. And we know the sins of this past century have been enormous, tremendous amount of sins. And of course, most people will say we're worse than we were in the time of the flood. We're worse than the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, and so on. One of the worst times the world has ever seen, because now we have the rulers of this world promoting all kinds of sins and evils as goods. They call evil good, abortion, contraception, homosexual unions, and they call good evil. If you say anything, you're the bad man, you're the enemy of the people, you're the one who's going to be punished, you're the one who'll lose your job and so on and so forth and be hated because you're not being charitable to your fellow man. So you can't speak up and even tell people to repent these days. So we're in deep, deep trouble. So this is what the second coming's going to be after. So we'll have an era of peace for a time. Various prophecies talk about this era of peace, and it'll be a great era of peace as we would expect. If Our Lady's going to bring an era of peace, we're going to see great holiness, and great sanctity. Blessed Bartholomew tells us that we'll have the greatest number of saints and the greatest number of vocations in this era of peace. And I think this era of peace has got to be soon, because how much longer can the world go on the way it is? Right? Have we hit bottom? Very close. Right? So in the meantime, what we need to do now is to realize that that's coming down the road, and we need to be ready to watch and pray and to realize what we've been given by God, by Jesus Christ. And today's gospel gives us a beautiful teaching about the forgiveness of sins. What could be more wonderful than to have the forgiveness of sins? The man with the palsy, who is cured by Jesus because the man has faith. We don't have it in today's gospel, but in St. Luke's gospel, he is let down from the top, from the rooftop by men because nobody could get in to be near him. So they ingeniously opened the rooftop and let him down by ropes. Can you imagine seeing a man come down from the rooftop into the place of where the people are meeting? Must have been a very dramatic scene. And of course, there he is right in front of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And what I like about this particular gospel, Jesus reads the hearts of these men. And they say, "What kind of a man can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sins." So they testify that God can forgive sins, and Jesus is going to forgive sins because he's going to tell the man, "Thy sins are forgiven thee. Arise and walk. Take up thy bed." And the man takes up his bed. Dom Garinger talks about this man representing the whole of the human race. When you think about it, there's a lot of truth in that. The whole of the human race before Christ, how were they going to get rid of their sins? Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can forgive sins. And he forgives the sin of this man with palsy, who represents all of us, all humanity, now can have our sins forgiven. As the prophet Isaiah says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become as white as snow." My dear friends, this is a great miracle, a greater miracle, the forgiveness of sins, than the cure of the man with palsy. Yes, all those wonderful physical cures are wonderful, but they're not as great as when you go to confession and you get rid of your mortal sins. You get your sins forgiven. That is a miracle of grace, and the soul is now cleansed. And how many souls today, my friends, are walking around with many numerous sins on their soul, tremendous amount of sins. And if they haven't deadened their conscience, they must feel very guilty. And of course, many have, through drink, through drugs, through music, through this, through that. They deaden their conscience. They don't want to live within themselves. They can't stand it because their conscience would bother them. And we know through the grace of the Holy Spirit that if we commit a sin and we do something wrong, the Holy Spirit inspires us to repent and do something about it. Repent, right? And remember, of course, the guilty conscience needs no accuser. We know we're doing something wrong. And if we give God an inch, as it were, and we let the Holy Spirit into our souls, we'll see how filled with guilt we are for all of our sins. And this is why we need to go to confession. This is why the sacrament of penance is such a most wonderful, wonderful sacrament. And Don, in the book, The Glories of Divine Intimacy, Father Gabriel of St. Magdalene gives a wonderful summary of what Jesus Christ means, how he comes to us and restores grace, sanctifying grace in the soul, where we have the friendship of God. He gives us the infused virtues of faith, hope, and charity, the theological virtues, and the moral virtues, the cardinal virtues. Prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude are infused into your soul with grace. And with the grace of God comes the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. A soul in the state of grace is filled with fruits: peace and joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, modesty, continence, chastity, peace, charity, all these wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit. And then he gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, where we can be like God in many ways, live holy lives, right? The wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit, piety, counsel, fear of the Lord, right? Fortitude, wisdom, knowledge and understanding. All these wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit come to us with grace. And if we don't have mortal sin, we don't commit mortal sin, and we grow in grace, they grow within our soul. And this is why we pray our Holy Rosary, the fruit of the mystery, to pray for the various gifts, the virtues, the fruits of the Holy Spirit in each mystery, peace and joy, humility, patience, fortitude, and so on. Look for those virtues in the Rosary and ask Our Lady to give them to you. Remember what St. Maximilian Kolbe says, the Immaculate penetrates the soul and directs its faculties, memory, understanding, and will with her unlimited power. My dear friends, what a blessing when we go to Our Lady and she makes sure that we get all the graces and virtues and blessings that we need. The Immaculate Virgin, the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady, with her rosary especially, penetrates, gets into your soul, and directs your faculties, the faculties of your soul, your memory, your understanding, and your will with her unlimited power. One gift that I particularly love is the gift of understanding, where the Holy Spirit will infuse into you the light that you need to understand and appreciate and love and grow in the various mysteries of the faith, the Eucharist, the sacraments, and so on. And Father Gabriel, and I'll end up with this, Father Gabriel sums it all up, as I've just told you, but just to hear his words, because Father Gabriel of St. Magdalene, in his book of meditations, Divine Intimacy, put out by Tan, is one of the best meditation books you can read. It's every day, over 365 meditations, and every day of the year following the Latin Mass calendar, and it's absolutely magnificent. Here's what Father Gabriel says. Yes, every grace, every gift comes to us from Jesus, and through them our person and our life are sanctified. Remember, without Jesus we can do nothing. Right? By means of sanctifying grace, he sanctifies our soul. Through the infused virtues, he sanctifies our faculties, memory, understanding, and will. And by actual grace, he sanctifies our activity, enabling us to act supernaturally. Yet even this does not satisfy his liberality. He is not content with setting us on the road to God, supernaturalized by grace and virtues, but he wishes to substitute his divine way of acting for our human way. Therefore, he enriches us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which make us capable of being moved by God himself. All this is the gift of Jesus to us, the fruit of his passion. It seems as if Jesus, the true Son of God, is not jealous of his divinity or his prerogatives, but seeks every possible means to make us share by grace what he possesses by nature. How true it is that the characteristic of love is to give oneself and to place those one loves on a plane of equality with oneself. This is what Jesus does for us. He cannot do any more. And therefore, it's going to be very, very sad, my friends, if you or me somehow or other fall by the wayside and leave the state of grace, never to return, God forbid. And then, as we know from the teaching on the Catholic Church, how those people in hell will suffer greatly, right? The pain of remorse. The fire never ends. The fire will never end. And the spirit is never consoled because we realize we could have been saved. We could have been saved. I'm reminded of a poem by an American writer. Of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest of thee are these, it might have been. If only I had gone to confession, if only I had done the first Saturdays, if only I had prayed the rosary, if only I had gone to confession and so on. If only I had listened to my parents and my mother and my wife or whatever, or the church. If only I had done a little more reading and studying and so on, I could have saved my soul. What else is life but a preparation to save your soul? To know, love, and serve God in this world, and then to be happy with Him in next. Everything else is vanity. The whole essence of life is vanity. Vanity of vanities, and all is vanity. Nonsense, 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 except to love God. Vanity of vanities, and all is vanity. And my dear friends, the only thing we have to do is to save our soul and to save the souls of our relatives and friends and our family. We got to make sure we're saving their souls and do all that we can, if they don't do much, to save their souls, praying many rosaries. And I kid you not, because the time is getting very close to, I think, already, what Our Lady said, the end. And we're going to see the great chastisements coming. That's what this whole world is happening now. Look around you. See. It's bottoming out. Soon we'll see the wrath of God for all the terrible sins of abortion, contraception, homosexuality, etc., etc., gay marriages and parades and all this nonsense that we have in our world, and killing people because they don't have the same faith as we know ISIS does, chopping off heads. How long can the Lord allow this stuff to go on before He disciplines our world? So wake up, because the time is short. Let us pray to Our Lady, pray the Holy Rosary. And if you do, my dear friends, you will see, you will begin to see the truth of what really is going on in this world and in your life. May the Lord bless you.